Okay, just got done seeing a good one. It was called VFW.
Yeah.
I liked it.
This kicked ass. I really liked this movie a lot. I suspected I was going to like it, like before I even saw it. Even when I saw the trailer, I'm like, oh yeah, that looks like.
Rented it off of Xbox. I think it was $3.99 in standard definition. And really, it doesn't need to be in HD because they filmed it like an old 80s movie.
Yeah.
And you can tell that they're kind of homaging John Carpenter.
Big time.
It's got a John Carpenter sound and soundtrack. Just the writing. It's kind of like Assault on Precinct 13 mixed with Escape from New York. And that's probably about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I was watching Cody Leach, movie review of it earlier, and he also fucking loved this movie, and he's trying to, like, hype it up and get more people to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he basically said Assault on Precinct 13 meets The Expendables.
Yeah. Okay, that's right. It's about a bunch of old vets hanging out in a VFW, and this girl named Lizard, who is in some drug gang across the street, steals a bunch of drugs and runs in there for protection. They were trying to catch her. But they didn't know what the hell was going on. They were just kind of duty bound to protect her. So then it turns into kind of like Assault on Precinct 13.
Yeah, it's like a siege type movie.
They're under siege in there and they're mostly unarmed. They got a couple of guns. But they got to make, you know, they're Vietnam veterans. So they're making damn Vietnam punji spikes and fucking traps. And, it's pretty cool. All pretty much all star cast from B movies back in the day.
Man, the cast of this
cast is perfect,
incredible,
spot on.
I can't believe they got like all these fucking people in this. Reading the fucking names, so they got like the main guy that plays Fred, who owns the VFW.
Yeah,
that's Stephen Lang.
Right.
He kicks ass in this.
Yeah,
that dude is 67 years old in that movie.
Damn, this is looking good for almost.
That's
70.
What I mean. I was like watching this review and
he's in good shape.
The review said he should be doing exercise videos.
Yeah,
because he's like. Fucking almost 70 years old.
Yeah.
And he looks all grizzled and badass and shit.
Yeah, short hair.
He was in Don't Breathe also, which was really good. Shit, he was in Manhunter. He was in fucking Tombstone.
Yeah.
He was in Avatar. He's been in all kind of shit.
They got the guy from the Shaft movies. The old Shaft. What was his name?
He wasn't in Shaft. He was in like, Fred Williamson.
Okay.
He used to be a football player like a long time ago. And then he was in like a fuck ton of blaxploitation movies.
Yeah,
not the Shaft movies. He was in like a whole bunch of other
ones. He must have been in something kung fu related because he did a little quick kung fu fucking thing. And it was fucking badass.
It was fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in it. William Sadler, who's in Shawshank Redemption, the second Die Hard. Martin Cove, the villain from the Karate Kid movies.
Yeah, he's in from Cobra Kai. He did great Cobra Kai.
Yeah, David Patrick Kelly, who was in Commando.
He was in The Warriors.
Scully, yeah. Yeah, George Wendt from Cheers.
Yeah.
He's in this as well. It's just, this is the fucking, and the cast is like amazing.
Yeah.
Now, the coolest thing, I mean, there's a lot of cool things about this movie. This was directed by Joe Bagos. I think I'm pronouncing that right. He also did Bliss, which we reviewed probably a couple months ago because they just dropped it on Shudder. That came out in 2019. I liked Bliss, but this, you can tell it's the same director, but this is like light years better.
Yeah, it goes right in there with a really good John Carpenter movie.
Yeah,
from back in the day.
Essentially like a throwback.
Yeah.
I mean, like, basically it's like a super easy setup. It's like there's this unspecified town which has just like gone to shit. Like everything's
closed, the cops are gone.
Yeah, the cops won't come.
It's kind of like, you say it's kind of like Detroit. They're talking about a situation like Detroit
where there's no government looking. Right. And so there's nothing around, and then there's this abandoned movie theater, and there's like a bunch of like drug punks.
They're like punk rockers.
Yeah, there's like
stereotypical looking.
Yeah, like just like from the 80s, like from the villains and stuff. And, you know, there's this new street drug that's called Hype. And they deal it out of there, and it kind of turns people into zombies. So much like Assault on Precinct 13, where like the hoods that are like coming and attacking the thing are like they don't talk and like they're like zombies and shit.
Yeah.
There's an aspect of that too, because like the main drug dealer, who's, I think the character's name is Boz, and he has like all these druggies just go over there and try to attack the VFW to get the drugs back.
Yeah.
That Lizard has stolen. Now she stole them because her sister, the sister was the one that splattered at the beginning.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. She was involved in it. She was on that drug, and dude Well, I don't want to spoil everything about
the movie. Yeah, I mean, that was like very, very early in the movie. Yeah. That was like the inciting incident.
The drug makes you kind of a mindless slave to the shit. And at one point, the bad guy's like, yeah, they might be in a mindless army of slaves, basically. But he's like, but they're still an army. And he's fucking telling them to go get the drugs back, you know, and they'll just wade into fucking gunfire and, you know, they don't give a shit.
Yeah, because they don't know what the fuck is going on.
And you can tell them to jump off a fucking building and they will, you know, they'll just do anything. And it's kind of campy, but it's supposed to be because that's the tone of these movies. They're trying to make an early 80s action sci-fi horror movie. Even though you could say this is kind of like a remake of Assault on Precinct 13 in a way, visually it reminded me a lot of the darker scenes from The Fog. So still Carpenter, but it kind of reminded me of The Fog, that movie, you know, at night. Remember how they're showing like the cityscape or the town at night with the fog coming? Kind of like that, but it's just waves of punk rockers.
And I have to, and zombies. I have to say too that I really, really like, I really, really like the production design, like on the inside of the VFW, like the bar, like with all the colored,
it looks good.
Like the red, green, blue lights, and it's like really dark, and it's like just really cool, like atmospheric look.
That was kind of reminding me of the lighthouse / radio station that, what's her name was broadcasting from.
Yeah, Adrienne Barbeau.
Adrienne Barbeau from The Fog. It kind of reminded, and of course, you know, this is a lot bigger, but I was getting that feeling that I got when I would see Adrienne Barbeau do her fucking DJ routine in that lighthouse. It kind of felt that way inside the VFW post. It felt like it was, you know, like a protected space, like a bastion, like the safe zone, but that it was being attacked, you know, it was under threat. It's just a certain kind of tone that he was able to evoke, you know, and, you know, Carpenter evoked that out of The Fog for me.
And like I said, it seemed like, Joe Bagos' first, I think Bliss was actually his second movie, because I think he made one in 2015 called The Mind's Eye, like a sci-fi movie, which I haven't seen. Like I said, we did see Bliss, which I liked, but this is like way, way better. It has a similar look. It has a similar kind of like punk rock DIY kind of scuzzy underground kind of feel about it, just like kind of those old movies where it's just like scummy exploitation
happening in one location pretty much.
Like one location. It's just it's essentially like an abandoned movie theater and then like the VFW bar
and the street in between.
That's
and then the
like
truck
it.
Out back. They got old Deuce and a Half out back with like a 50 cal, but no ammo for it.
But I mean, there's just so much to, I mean, the cast, like I said, is amazing. The chemistry between all of the guys, like most of them are Vietnam vets, but I think one guy was a Korean War vet. And then they also have like a younger
guy showed up.
That he comes from Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And, so it's not so much just like old farts versus like young people. So they do have like young people that kind of like help them.
Yeah. One thing I did like about it is that, they did not compromise. Even the morality behind the movie was 80s traditional morality about loyalty and, you know what I mean? And being a strong, heroic figure and being willing to die for your friends. That is what this movie's about.
Yeah. And even for a stranger, because they didn't know Lizard. She just busted in.
They said that they were duty bound to protect her.
And then then they saw that all these like fuckheads were like trying to come get her. And they were like, okay, well, you're not coming to get her. They didn't know who she was or what was going on or anything.
Right. So I'm glad that the director he didn't compromise on the morality aspects of the old fashioned fucking 80s movies. That's the way they were. And I think it's a good message because it's a true message. It's true. That's the way veterans are. That's the way people should be.
Honestly, as much as I love, and like I said, this movie, I think it's only 87 minutes, 90 minutes long, and it is lean and mean. It fucking starts, there's like splatter from like the first 2 minutes, and then it really doesn't let up. Like I said, it's a very simple
practical effects the whole way.
Story. The fucking gore is fantastic.
It's pretty good. Heads exploding from
shotgun
blasts.
Heads, you get fucking arms chopped off. It's so fucking fun.
It's action and thrills through the whole thing.
Blood spraying everywhere. Yep. It's not supposed to be like realistic necessarily.
It's got that same 80s kind of
camp. It's just over the top. It's just like people getting killed with fucking buzz saws and
It's like a concrete cutter.
I don't know
if it's a circular saw.
So people with traps with spikes and like I said, just people getting their heads blown off with shotguns.
It's almost a borderline comic book movie.
It is, kind of.
There's certain have a shots look like something was taken from a frame out of a comic book. Oh, fat guy there from fucking...
From Cheers.
From George Cheers went, with the damn concrete cutter and a wave of fucking punk rockers on these...
It just looks like cool. Chopping all their abdomens open. Yeah. But as I have to say, though, as much as fucking fun as that was, and we were, of course, like drinking and watching this, we just had a fucking blast with this movie. As fucking great as the gore is, I'm telling you that I could probably watch an entire movie of just the grizzled old veterans sitting there talking shit
at funny.
The bar.
The humor was good.
It's good humor. They're just like all the shit about like the stripper's pussy hair and like all the shit. It was just so fucking funny.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and there's not like a lot of that. Like there aren't like a lot of slow scenes or character development type scenes or anything like that. But you get a sense of each of their personalities, like, very quickly. Like, just from the banter between them.
It's just what made those older movies great. He's brought that back. I could... This director, what's his name again?
Joe Bagos.
Joe, you could just continue to make movies like this.
Yeah.
I'd watch them all. Like, I'm going to buy this one on Blu-ray.
Now I kind of want to go back and see his first one, The Mind's Eye. Like, you know, as we said, and we might have said this, I can't remember what exactly we said when we reviewed Bliss, which was the movie that he did before this one, which I liked, but I thought it could have been, like, snapped up some. But this one is definitely, like, a huge step forward.
The score was spot on.
Yeah, just fucking great score, great music, like, everything about it. Like, visually, it's just really, really cool, like, dark with all this, like, bright colored lights. And
it had giallo type lighting. It had a John Carpenter style score that I just fucking it evoked the fucking the genre. You
know, it's just like a really cool, like, that's scuzzy, ballsy,
80s style,
gory, like 80s style.
And I don't know, I don't think it was actually supposed to be in the 80s. It might be a parallel universe 80s. They didn't have cell phones.
That wasn't, we couldn't really figure out because we were figuring out. The veterans were like, is this supposed to be in the future? Because...
Well, he came back from Afghanistan.
Yeah, so that guy came back from Afghanistan. So it had to be like right around this time period. Yeah. But like you said, nobody had cell phones.
Right.
So I kind of feel like maybe this was just like an alternate reality. Maybe.
Could have been that a cell phone wouldn't have helped you anyway because there were no police service.
No cops,
in that area, so...
Yeah, because there was a whole thing where like, you know, somebody gets wounded and they had to go to the hospital. And they're like, well...
They couldn't get him out of there.
They couldn't get him out of there. It's like, we can't call the cops or ambulance because they won't come. Right. So...
Yeah, and they're killing each other with wild abandon just out in the open, you know, no repercussions.
Yeah.
I'm just going to kill that motherfucker. And, you know, and the cops, you know, it's outside, it's happening outside the sphere of law and order. It's just, you know... It's funny, you know, well, I guess that's the way it would have been because there's no cops.
Yeah, it reminded me very much. It had kind of like that whole like Bronx Warriors tone too, like all those kind of 80s movies where it's just like gang fights.
Gang fights out in the middle of nowhere.
Out in the middle of nowhere, like no cops nobody ever gets in trouble.
Yeah.
But it is kind of like that. But seriously, I'm sure that's available on some other streaming services because I think its world premiere, I think, was earlier this year or late last year. I think it was at Fantastic Fest maybe. And I had heard some buzz about it and like saw like a couple of like really positive reviews.
Xbox, it has 4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, so I was really excited to see it. Every horror guy that I have watched reviews of this for, like, fucking loved it.
Yeah.
And I really hope that it doesn't get, because I feel like Bliss didn't really get that much attention, but this one, I believe, definitely should, because this is, if you really like John Carpenter, if you like action horror, like really, really gory 80s style, shit that's kind of like has that underground punk rock kind of scummy sort of vibe to it, then you will fucking love this.
It's just a real well-crafted, low-budget movie playing to a low-budget movie's strengths.
Yeah.
Homaging the golden era of that genre, you know, and it's, like I said, it's on Xbox, it's 4.5 out of 5 stars. That's what it's being rated. I gave it 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Just on the strength.
I mean, we had a fucking ball with this movie. Yeah, I actually wouldn't mind seeing it again.
Yeah, I want to buy it on Blu-ray.
Yeah. So if you, like, whatever your streaming service is, I don't know, like, Shudder might end up adding it eventually because they have his other movie. They might have his first movie, too. I'm not really sure.
This one's going to go right in there with my Carpenter collection.
Yeah, because it's very... And I don't want to, like, make it seem like he's just ripping off John Carpenter. No. It's an homage, for sure, but it's its own thing, too.
Yeah, Carpenter kind of helped lay out a lot of the foundation that came from a lot of this type of movie from that era.
Yeah.
And, you know, the director in this case, he's letting you know, you know, where this movie's supposed to go.
Yeah.
And spot on. It's spot on.
Definitely.
I'd like to see more like this.
Yeah, I would too, actually. Yeah. But yeah, I definitely recommend it. It's a lot of fun. The cast is great. The fucking gore is fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's just a blast. It's a blast to watch. It's like really
I would like to see him do a monster movie. Something along the lines of the Thing.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
His
well,
own
if
take
he's
on
a big
that.
John Carpenter fan, I'm sure he'll right. probably do something like that.
Yeah, something kind of like along lines of Thing.
So yeah, definitely seeing this has made me like excited to see what he does.
Or an Escape from New York type thing.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him do a movie like that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Actually, I would trust this dude with the character of Snake Plissken. I bet you he could write a good fucking Snake Plissken story.
Yeah, probably.
Probably better than Carpenter could write, actually.
Well, nowadays.
Yeah. Although yeah. I kind of lightened up a little bit on Escape from L.A. I mean, I just see it as a parody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just not as ominous and dark as the original.
Yeah, it was just too goofy.
It was a little goofy, yeah.
And I couldn't get past the goofiness.
Yeah.
Just not from that character and not from that. Yeah.
I don't know why he chose to do it like that. I wouldn't have done it like that.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like he was like taking a piss.
Like taking
the piss out
yeah.
of himself or something. I don't really know.
I'd like to see this guy's fucking take on Snake Plissken.
Yeah, that might be really interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely, whatever streaming service you have, if they check it out and see if they have it on there. Like I said, we rented it for $3.99 on Xbox, and I'm sure other places have it as well.
Oh, well worth seeing.
So, if you're into that kind of like action horror throwback type of stuff, you definitely have to see this. It's really, really good. So, second matinee movie we saw this week was yet another Xbox rental of a movie that came out late last year but just dropped on VOD very recently. This was a horror movie called The Dare.
Yeah, I was impressed with it.
This was actually much better than I was expecting. The trailer looked good. You know, we watched like a bunch of trailers of the horror movies that are available on Xbox rental from this year. And this one actually looked pretty good, so we kind of gave it a shot.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be kind of generic, you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, this will be all right. Watched it, and it was pretty fucking good. I liked it.
It was very, I mean, it's not a super original story. It's very similar. Like, the setup of it is kind of similar to Saw or, like, other kind of, I don't really like to use, like, torture porn, but it's, like, that kind of setup.
Not quite as graphic, though. It's not.
Yeah.
It does have a lot of cringy shit, you know, like, oh, you know what I mean? But it doesn't actually show a lot of it.
It does. It, like, cuts away, but then it just kind of, like, it's not.
Which, that's fine with me. I don't have to actually see it. The idea of it. Is enough.
Yeah, because there is like some pretty cringe-inducing things that happen in this with like, you know, people's fingernails coming off and like their eyeballs being cut out.
Making people eat bugs and making people swallow. Well, I'm not gonna
Yeah, and shit like that.
I don't want to steal the movie's thunder.
Yeah, but this I wouldn't advise, like, if you're really squeamish about violence, I wouldn't advise you to watch it. But if you're like really into you know, movies that kind of show everything and like it's like a, you know, kind of where they show everything to such an extent that that's kind of like the whole thing of the movie. It's not quite that far. Yeah. But I will say that I think, as far as I could determine from what I looked up about this movie, that all of the special effects were practical.
Yeah.
And that CGI was only done like in little touches here and there, like to clean things up. But the special effects in this are really good.
Yeah, I cheaped out and I got it in standard definition. I think it was $3.99.
I think
I'd have spent the extra dollar to get the HD version on it. Actually, I think.
Yeah.
But really, the strong point of the movie is really the story and the cast. I liked the story. It was kind of like you said, a little bit like Saw, but also a little bit like Friday the 13th. There's a Jason type character, but it also shows his origin story. And it had a good cast. It had that bad guy from Hannibal Rising. He was also in Mandy, I think, wasn't he?
Richard Brake. And he was in Three from Hell as well.
Yeah, he played the dude that made the fucking killer acid and shit.
Yeah.
That skinny guy. What's his name again?
Richard Brake.
Yeah, he was good in it. He's kind of like the I guess you could say he's like the main villain, but then there's like a secondary villain. And this actor here, man, he really stood out for me. The whole cast was good.
Yeah, he was creepy as hell in this.
Yeah. The whole cast in this was good, you know, the people that were playing the victims and the fucking main guy and everything. He was really good in it. But the one that stood out to me was fucking the villain in this. The guy who kind of plays kind of like
Dominic.
His name is Dominic. He's almost kind of like Jason, but he talks.
Okay. Yeah.
This actor, man, he just impressed me. He's a big dude, about like Arnold. When Arnold became an actor, he wasn't as big as Arnold, say, when Arnold was lifting, but, you know, when he was competing. But when he was an actor, he's about that size. He's a young guy and takes off that damn mask. And this, he's just one handsome dude, man. I was fucking like, damn, I didn't expect him to look like that. And that really played out well in the movie. The guy looked like a fucking Calvin Klein model, but he could act.
Yeah, it was unexpected. I like the way they kind of reversed that trope. Because you know how, like, in the Friday the 13th movies, when Jason's hockey mask comes off and his face is all fucked up?
Yeah.
This, they almost kind of did an opposite or a subversion of that a little bit.
Right. And it's a really good character that I think he's playing. But I'm really impressed with this actor. Jenny, I was like, I saw the dude and I go, man, there's your next Terminator right there. I said, that dude could straighten his hair and fucking dye it black. That's the fucking Terminator. And Jenny goes, actually, Flash Gordon. And I was like, yeah.
That
dude would play an awesome Flash Gordon. Because he looks like a hero. He looks like a fucking hero.
I forgot to tell you this morning because I looked him up like after I talked to you. His name is Robert Mosser. He's actually German.
Okay.
He started out as a gymnast.
Okay.
And he has like a whole bunch of titles for doing he's a wheel gymnast, you know, like those big loops and they do like all the fucking tricks with the rolling loops and stuff. He actually started out in show business as a stuntman.
Yeah.
And he, his first international screen debut was in Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Okay. I loved that movie. I'll have to go back and see it. This dude needs to be a star, man.
He was also in 1917. He was the German pilot in the plane that crashed.
Oh, okay. All right.
That was him, too.
All right, yeah.
I didn't realize.
I didn't recognize him. He had that flight gear on. Couldn't see him.
But yeah, that was him as well.
But yeah, this dude right here, and I called it. I didn't realize he was German.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell. He doesn't have an accent. Dude can act. I was thinking, man, that dude is like another Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
He belongs in movies. I'd like to see him in an action series.
Well, it seems like he's starting out and he's doing pretty good. I would imagine. Like I said, he's stuntman, gymnast, stuff
you see,
like that. He's in really good shape.
Star Wars obviously is fucked up. That's not coming back, I don't think. You know, even though the Baby Yoda thing, that sounds, evidently people like that. Star Wars was a ripoff of Flash Gordon.
Well, because
Lucas
couldn't get a license for
Flash Gordon. Well, actually, I think at the time, Dino De Laurentiis Studios had it.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to give it to him, which I loved that movie. A lot of people don't like it, but you see that bitch in HD, what it looked like on the big screen. It looked really good. Fuck Star Wars. What they should do is somebody just come back and bring Flash Gordon and put this dude in it as Flash Gordon.
I think he'd make a really good Flash Gordon.
Yeah. And what was good about fucking Flash Gordon is it was fucking wild. It had sex and drugs in it. the original Flash Gordon did. A lot of people, you know, scantily clad women, fucking slave girls, and, you know, Ming the Merciless, and all kinds of crazy shit was happening, even in the old black and white Flash Gordons, if you read into it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they were talking about. And why not just go back to Flash Gordon? Put this, they've tried to reboot Flash Gordon so many times, and it always sucked. It never did right. The De Laurentiis one was the closest one. I think now with modern CG, you could make real Flash Gordon and that shit would be cool. Pink skies and green outer space and windows on the air, on spaceships and everything.
Yeah.
I think it'd be all right. Anyway, we've got to get back to this one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So
we're talking about this movie. So like I said, now this is the first, it's not the directorial debut exactly, but it's the fictional full length movie directorial debut of a guy named Giles Alderson, who was British. Now, he's apparently also an actor. He's made documentaries. He's made short films. He's made all that kind of stuff. But this is like his first, you know, feature length film. And apparently this got like a kind of a festival run, like in the UK and in the Netherlands late last year. And then it just got released, you know, just recently on VOD platforms. Now, the setup of it, like I said, it's similar to Saw in that there's like a very brief kind of thing where you're introduced to a family, the Jackson family, and it's like, you know, husband, wife, two daughters, and, you know, there's some kind of hints that Jay spends a lot of time, like, away from home because he's trying to, you know, make more money so they can move out of this house, and the wife doesn't really like it because he's gone all the time. So there's, like, there's probably, like, a 3 or 4 minute thing where that's established, and then pretty much it seems there's an intruder outside, and then bam, suddenly Jay, the dad, wakes up chained up in a basement
with three other people.
Yeah.
And one of them's badly mangled.
And one of them's all mangled and can't talk. Like, I think his lips are sewn together or something like that. So as it goes on, like, he tries to escape. He tries to, like, figure out what the fuck is going on. And all the time that this is going on, there's also, like, a parallel story. And for the first part of the movie, I was a little bit confused because I thought
that it was going on simultaneously,
like from the, cause they kind of hinted that it was going on at the same time. But as the movie goes on, it's like, no, it's established that that was like a flashback.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like that went on previously. And then like, as there's also kind of like a mystery element because you're trying to figure out what are these four people that are chained in this basement have in common and why is this particular person doing this to them and why is he doing this particular thing in this particular way. And, you know, so the two stories kind of go parallel with the present and the past. Richard Brake plays, you know, the guy in the past with the kid. So those two kind of go, and then like as it goes on, you kind of figure out more and more about the situation and what's happening with it. And like I said, it's not like a really like mind-blowingly original concept or anything like that, but I thought it was really well executed. I thought like the acting was good. I've seen a little bit of criticism that, you know, oh, none of the characters are all that likable, which.
Yeah, well, that's what I
can see that.
Yeah.
But the main guy, Jay, who's played by Bart Edwards, he's likable in the sense that, you know, he has a wife and kids who obviously love him. And, you know, even if he did do something bad, like to quote unquote deserve this, like, just imagining yourself in that situation and him trying to get out of that situation and, you know, having frustration with these other two people who seem to have become, like, completely, like, you know, we can't escape from here and all this other kind of shit. So that interaction, I thought, made him more sympathetic.
Yeah, as the story unfolds, you understand why they're not likable. It's not by accident, all right? So that's... You could say that the story's not that original, but Jenny and I are almost at two different opposite ends of the spectrum. She's real into story, intricate story and innovation and stuff. I don't like that. I like things that are kind of familiar and traditional and real enjoyable that don't require a lot of thinking, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Unless I want to think about it. For me, movies escapism. I just want to be entertained.
Well, I like that too, but it depends on my mood.
That
depends on my mood too.
For me, I thought the movie was very entertaining. It was kind of a traditional horror movie kind of situation that I'm used to. 80s, 90s, you know?
And it's fast paced.
It's very fast paced. I have a very short attention span. And as soon as the movie started, I kept watching it.
Yeah, like I said, there was only a little bit of character development at the beginning with him and the family just to establish it, and then it just went right into
if a movie takes a fucking weird turn or something, it gets all boring, and I just, fuck it.
And
it didn't do it, so I enjoyed the movie.
And I really liked, and once I figured out, like, that the two plots were happening, not simultaneously, but were happening, because I thought it was, like, upstairs, downstairs, but it's actually, like, two...
Yeah.
Different time periods. And once I had figured that out in the parallels and everything, I was like, oh, okay. So I kind of got that going. So I thought that was like a little bit of an original kind of thing where they kept going back and forth in the timelines without really making it clear at the beginning that that's what they were doing. Because it seemed to me that they were trying to make you think that it was going on at the same time.
Yeah.
But then later...
For me, I had just as much fun watching this one as I did VFW. I like VFW too.
Yeah.
You know, they're very different movies, but they were equally entertaining.
Yeah, this one is very much more, like I said, I hate to use torture porn, but, you know, I use that because people know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's very much in that vein, probably not as graphic as something like Hostel or something like that, because a lot of the effects, while amazing and realistic looking, they don't like... dwell like put them, like put them right in your face, you know,
a lot of it was suggested,
which in a way I thought
kind of
like better,
like
we kind of left it to your imagination, like because you're sitting there going, you could see what was coming,
you
and you could kind of see the, and you were like, oh, nasty.
And in this one, the story is more really kind of more important than the damn gore anyway.
Yeah,
if you ask me, it was more about the story and how'd this happen and why
going on.
And what the hell, you know.
Because that's what kept me watching. Because I'm like, who are these four people and why are they here? And
And who's this dude and why is he doing this? And it's a good story.
Yeah. I mean, I liked it a lot. Like
and
I said.
It's set up for a sequel too. It's set up for a sequel.
That's right.
If somebody, remember that?
Yeah, because I remember that little coda at the end there.
It's set up for a sequel. So, you know, they're trying to make a property, which I don't blame them. I'd watch a sequel.
Well, I kind of feel like even most investors, even in independent movies, are kind of maybe looking for the next big thing that's going to become like a franchise that they can make a lot of money on. So it's like, you know, everybody loves trilogies and everybody loves like expanded universes and
they
stuff
got
like
the,
that.
They got this. They got this guy. He's kind of like a cross between a Freddy Krueger and a Jason and a fucking Michael Myers.
The guy from The Collector.
And
maybe?
The guy from The Collector. He's a big guy, big pretty motherfucker, but he's fucking weird, and it's good.
Yeah, I actually liked it a great deal.
And he didn't come out of nowhere. He was kind of trained to be this.
Yeah.
He had a mentor who made him into this, so I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, so cool. Really good. So it's streaming on various platforms. We got it on Xbox, but I saw that it was for rent other places, maybe Amazon Prime or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but I saw several other ones. But yeah, just, you know, $4 or $5 shit.
Yeah.
It's a good watch if you love horror movies and especially
if you brand new.
Yeah, and brand new. So definitely check it out. All right. Third movie we saw this week on the matinee was yet another Xbox rental. This one was like a horror thriller from Canada called True Fiction. Now, this was... The trailer for this looks really good, but the trailer looked really good. And but I have to say that the trailer, they...
deceptive.
Well, they did this on purpose because they wanted it to go... So, in a way, I liked that because you thought it was going to go one direction and then it goes in a wildly different direction to what you thought it was going to happen. But yeah, so basically the setup of this has a little bit of a touch of Misery type of thing to it. It's like a kind of Stephen King-y type of setup. It was actually shot in Calgary, I think, in Alberta. So basically there's this girl named Avery, and she is an aspiring writer. She works at a library. She comes across as like slightly, maybe a little mousy, a little insecure or something like that. But she's like this big fan of a horror writer named Caleb Conrad, who very famously is reclusive, like no one has ever seen his face. So she gets chosen to work for this reclusive author that she loves so much out in his remote fucking cabin or whatever, like out in the fucking snow. And she's super jacked about it. And when she gets there, she discovers that he has been having, I guess, some kind of writer's block. So he's like, what I wanted to do was get somebody in here and do some like controlled experiments in fear, as he calls them, and try to get his muse back. And he's like, and I want to like write a book together, like about you and about like all the fear and shit like that you're doing. So he does kind of like standard that, like he puts her in a sensory deprivation suit and shows her like all these like really fucked up images. He seems to be like filming her when she's sleeping, like just doing this kind of messed up stuff. He like locks her in this one wing of the cabin.
Starts gaslighting her
and fucking with her and stuff like, you didn't see that in that video and like all this other kind of stuff, which was really like stressing me out like while I was watching this, because that's like, I don't know, that really bothers me a lot. But it's like, I really don't want to spoil this because it went in a direction I was really not expecting. And I like the direction that it went in. Because if you just like watched the trailer, you would think that this was a pretty standard, like, you know, this woman goes to this cabin and is kept, you know, is like held hostage by this crazy writer who's doing all these like experiments on her and stuff. And it does seem like that's what it's about. But then reality starts to become a little more amorphous. Like, you're not really sure. You're not really sure, like, who is the instigator. You're not really sure what is really happening. Like, what's really real? What's fake? Are some of the people actors? You don't really... There's, like, all these kind of, like, tendrils going on in this movie that make it, like, kind of go off in, like, a really interesting direction, which I wasn't expecting. So like I said, I'm really glad that it went that way instead of just being another standard, you know, woman held captive by crazy person thing. And then like she fights back and everything. This actually went in a different way. And like I said, I don't really want to spoil it. And it's kind of hard to talk about, but it's like, There's pretty much only two characters in this. The girl that was in it, I think she's been on like some TV shows and stuff. The guy that plays the writer, I think he was in Seven, and he's been in like a couple other movies. Like I had seen him before in like some other shit. So it's essentially mostly just the two of them like interacting, and it's really creepy because he doesn't seem, I mean, he seems a little bit sinister, but not really. He also seems kind of like, you know, mild mannered and shit, but just the way that they psychologically like interact with each other is really, really interesting to watch. And I really, really liked, you know, how it kind of goes in a direction where you're not really sure who's telling the truth or what exactly is going on. And this is definitely one that I will probably need to watch again because I feel like there was a lot of stuff going on in there that I missed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it gets like really complicated and there's like all this shit going on. And I'm still not entirely sure if certain people were who they said they were. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They don't really, I don't know if they really resolved that or if I just wasn't paying attention. But yeah, it's like, this was a really good one. It, I guess it premiered at a film festival, like a horror festival in Brazil, last May, and subsequently went on to VOD. I haven't heard a lot of people talking about it. I've seen like some horror blogs and stuff like that. A lot of them have reviewed it. It seems to be getting, it's weird because IMDb, it has like fairly low ratings, but most of the reviewers I saw, particularly one guy that I like, and I can't remember what his channel is called, but he's Canadian also, and he really, really liked this movie, and he was like trying to get everybody to watch it. And most of the horror blogs that I've seen have like really enjoyed it. Like I said, it's not fantastic. It's probably not even my favorite one that we saw this week, which would be VFW, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's certainly worth watching, especially if you like psychological horror. It's got like some gore and it's kind of bloody like toward the end, but that's like, you know, the third act. It's kind of a slow setup. You know what I mean? And maybe they could have done a little bit more with Avery's characterization at the beginning, but then in some ways there was a reason why they didn't. Like, it made sense with the story, and like if you've seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about. But yeah, definitely a good psychological horror film. So, like I said, it's a little bit of a slow build, but it gets, like, gory and bonkers, like, in the third act. So, you know, if that sounds like something that you'd be into, then check it out. It's probably, like, for rent on other VOD platforms as well.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't like it. it broke a lot of the rules. It's just not to my taste. I mean, 5 to 10 minute rule broken, which is, you know, if it doesn't get and hold my attention for that first 5 to 10 minutes, it's not going to be any good from my point of view. It's not the kind of movie I like. Long-winded, no score to speak of, kind of stale. The acting's not bad, but that's not saying much. Not bad is not the same as good, you know? No, too dialogue heavy.
Well, this is definitely one where you have to pay attention to everything that's going on. And like I said, it's a psychological horror.
Yeah, movie. That's what I was going to say. I don't think this is a horror movie.
It's classified as a horror thriller.
Yeah, I would say psychodrama thriller type. It does have some
like it
elements.
Gets gory at the end. Like there's violence and it gets bloody at the end. But most of it is like the interaction between the two characters, like the disturbing images she goes through, like with, you know, with in the sensory deprivation thing where he's trying to like freak her out and him doing like lie detector tests on her and all this other. So it's kind of like the cat and mouse, like the interaction between the two of them is like the large part. So, you know, so if you're looking for something that's more like, you know, like the one that we reviewed yesterday, The Dare, then it's not like that.
No,
it's more like a
something also about the audio mastering. It sounds like the audio is kind of like off a video camera more than something on a movie, to me.
I didn't notice.
You didn't notice that?
No, I didn't notice.
Yeah, the audio quality sounded kind of, it didn't sound theatrical. It sounded more like something off a damn video camera, just the way it sounded.
Yeah.
The audio mix was weird.
I didn't notice anything
unusual
about it.
Well, when they spoke, there was something about, I'm not, you know, an audio expert. There's just something about it. It sounded cheap.
Hmm.
Yeah, I just did.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really notice anything unusual. But then again, my hearing isn't all that good.
Yeah, and it sounded a little bit cheap. I think a story like this would be better in a book than it would be a movie.
Yeah, this came across, it's very Stephen King-y. It's not... Yeah. You know, I don't want to say it's just like Misery because the story is very different, but in the sense of, you know, writers in an isolated cabin, like one of whom is ostensibly being kept captive by the other one. So, and then like the whole psychological thing between the two of them. So it's similar in that sense. So if that sounds like something that you would like, then I do recommend it. Tom didn't like it.
No, I would have edited a lot of it down.
Yeah, even though it's not really that long. I think it was only an hour and 45 minutes.
It just
hour and 43
felt
minutes,
jumbled
like
and confusing. You know what I mean? Very heavy in dialogue, and it didn't seem like the dialogue was important.
It was, but like I said, it was definitely just something you had to pay attention to. But
yeah.
See, I like that kind of thing.
Right. It's just a taste, you know? For me, cinema is something you sit there and you watch it, you entertained it. You're entertained, you go on a journey, you know, you don't really have to think about it too much. Or if you do, you know, that's just how I watch movies.
Yeah.
I don't really want to sit around and figure out somebody's puzzle.
I like that. I like all kind of movies. Like, yeah. I like just stupid fun ones too, but right. It's like, I really do like one that, you know, you really have to watch like a second or third time, like to get all the nuances and like see everything that was going on. Like, I like that kind of thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I like it a little more emotional, more visual, less dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like that. I don't like stories that are driven that way.
Just, yeah.
You know, a story like that, I think the best medium would be book.
Yeah. I can see this working as a book as well.
Yeah. I think it'd be better as a book.
Yeah.
Because I think it was written as like, you know, screenplay / play / okay, let's make this into a movie. And taking something from a book into a movie is difficult. I mean, look at the difference between The Shining book and the movie. They're both excellent, but the movie's nothing like the book.
Not really.
If you try to make The Shining into a damn movie, what you get is you get the TV series.
You like that.
I like that TV series,
I didn't like it.
But most people didn't like it, right.
Because it was too literal.
It was, yeah. Well, that's the way this kind of felt.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the guy that, like I said, the guy that did this is Canadian. This is his third movie, as far as I know, but I haven't seen his other two, so I couldn't tell you, like, how this stood in relation to
it
his other ones.
It just kind of lost me in the beginning when it was really focused around this girl and her feelings and this and that, and it went on a little too long, and I really don't care about character movies that much. You know, I mean, the characters in the movies. It's hard to get me connected to some character in a movie just through dialogue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So... through visual stuff, you can might get me connected, but not through dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's part of my just personal operating system. I pretty much ignore what people say. I'm mostly watching what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, cause, I don't know. It's just maybe it's defense mechanism being bamboozled a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably.
Probably what it is. Maybe you're talking, but I'm just watching your hands. You know what I mean? Fucking looking at your body language more than anything else, you know, fucking what decisions have you made and stuff like that. How did you react to this and that? You know, I don't really care what you said, you know, people can say anything.
True.
So it's hard to draw me into stories that are with dialogue, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I think that, you know, both of us coming at it from a different perspective, I think that will be like whatever kind of person you are, whether you're more a person like Tom or you're more a person like me, that'll
probably,
you know, that'll say whether you like the movie or not, which I think is very handy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, if that sounds like something you'd like, then definitely go watch it. I thought it was like pretty damn decent. Like I said, not my favorite of the week. That was BFW. Cause that was just, you know, fun and bloody and gory and everything.
Yeah.
And this one, like, you know, it is one that you definitely need like to invest like your full attention in because it's like very complicated. Like as the story goes on, like, you know, what's going on and who's who and stuff like that. But yeah, check it out.